it up.
Talk shoes. Recorded live.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show, produced by the Head of Household. We come your way every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can get more info about this show by visiting our new and improved website, householdstress.com. Again, that website, householdstress.com. Listeners can participate in one of our live weekly talk shows by calling in or logging on to householdstress.com from your personal computer as an anonymous guest. Phone lines are open right now, but this show is strictly for men only. So call in to the hottest talk show in America. Now, we have a couple rules, and they are absolutely no profanity and no politics, and more importantly, no racial stuff. This show is apolitical and race neutral so that we can make sure that any man can feel comfortable on our show. And furthermore, this ain't Bible study, fellas. We want you to just be able to come to our show as a man, and that is it. The Virtual Talk Show always presents the hottest topics for discussion, and tonight is no different. Tonight's topic is from soulmates to roommates, a.k.a. I'm ready to sign them papers, but I ain't got the paper. My name is Rodney, and I'll be your pilot for the evening, and I might even DJ just a tad bit tonight. More on that later. I've got a lot of material, and the hope is that I can get this plane off the ground and ultimately land on a safe conclusion. This is a fluid conversation, so if you do have something to say, please, please feel free to do so. Or if you just prefer to listen, that is absolutely fine, too. And I do still have this. That's the seatbelt sound when you're on an airplane. When you hear that sound, it means to take your seat and buckle your seatbelts because it's about to get a little bumpy. That sound is just to put you on notice that it might get a little uncomfortable. And fellas, I'm predicting there's going to be a whole lot of turbulence tonight. But please try to hang on until the end because you'll definitely want to hear the conclusion to this episode. All right, with all of that said, let's get started. Society is full of whispered scenarios in which spouses live apart in different homes and sometimes within the same house in order to silence the gossip, avoid ugly divorce battles, or to maintain the status quo, however uneasy. In certain cases, the world assumes a couple is divorced and never learns otherwise until an obituary finally sets the record straight. Take, for example, my man Warren Buffett, the chairman of Berkshire Hathaway. Warren Buffett separated from his wife, Susan, in 1977, but remained married to her until she died in 2004. All the while, he lived with a woman by the name of Astrid Minks, whom he married in 2006. The three of them remained close, and they even sent out Christmas cards signed Warren, Susan, and Astrid. But the recent financial collapse has made some couples say, hey, let's not bring in a bunch of lawyers and rush into a nasty divorce. Let's see if we can make something else work. These people are sometimes referred to as the undivorced. Some couples find it easier emotionally and financially just to permanently separate instead of getting divorced. And this is the crux of what we're going to discuss tonight, fellas. A permanent separation instead of a divorce. So the first question of the evening, how can financial struggles compound or add to other marital problems? How can not having enough money exacerbate the whole situation? That's the first question.
You could just make your whole household stressful.
I was on mute.
Okay. I think finances are an amplifier.
I don't think they cause the problem. I think they amplify a problem, though, if you're having financial stress. Just like anything else, if you're having health challenges or, you know, other stress from different things. I mean, if your parents are really sick, different things can really amplify problems. I don't think that finances will cause a problem.
Yeah, that's good words because, you know, finances is one of the leading causes of divorce because, you know, as you said, I mean, it creates so much stress, shame, you know, feelings of inadequacy. And those things can easily turn into blame and anger and also aggression.
You said that finances cause a lot of marriage. Are you talking about the lack of or the overabundance of?
Either or.
I wish I could feel the abundance of. Because the lack of right now is really what causes, you know, causes the stress in the household now. For me, anyway, I think you become less focused on things that run a household because you're so worried about where that next, you know, where your finances are going to come from. Even though you still have a job, you still have to, you know, send your finances out to the bills or whatnot. So I think that you lose focus and you become so wrapped up in trying to maintain the household that it can add additional stress. I mean, it can take away from your family time. You know what I'm saying? So I wish, you know, on my side, it's the lack of, yeah, you know, that money can cause a lot of issues, but I wish I knew the abundance of.
Good words. Good words. Anybody else? I mean, the brother was right. You know, financial troubles are often a major cause of marital fights. But, you know, how can it make it difficult to get out of the marriage, especially in this economy? Financial trouble.
Whose phone's ringing?
Somebody better get that.
Repeat the question. That was kind of, you know, that phone.
Sure. I said financial troubles are often a major cause of marital fights, as the brother, you know, was you know, or stress, you know, in general. But how can it make it difficult to get out of the marriage, especially in this economy?
Well, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, well, you know, you got to leave. Well, I ain't leaving. I ain't got no money. I ain't got no money. it's really funny, but, you know, it's cheaper to keep her.
They made a song about that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you going to walk out and pay for some other brother to be up in the sauce.
Good words. Anybody else?
Not only that, I mean, if you do have to leave, you have to go and start anew, you know. So, it, you know, you then got to find finances to find you another place to stay. So not only, you know, do you still have to, you know, pay for the house that is no longer yours, because if you really think about it, if you become separated, in some states you have to become separated for a while before actual divorce is final. So you might still be paying for a house that you're not living in, plus the house that you have to rent.
And a car you're not driving.
Say that.
I know about that.
So, I mean, what percentage of married people in the United States do y'all think were considering separation or divorce prior to the economic slowdown, but put aside those plans specifically because of the economy? What percentage of married folk y'all think were considering separation or divorce prior to the slowdown, but put aside those plans specifically because of the economy?
17.56.
Nope.
3%.
Not high enough. 17, not high enough.
Wow.
75.
No, that's too high. 40%, roughly 40%.
Oh, come on, man. How do they get those numbers? They didn't fool me.
Yeah. But roughly 40%.
So what you're saying is 40% of folks right now would be split up if they had the money?
According to this poll, yes.
They surveyed 100 people like Family Feud.
Yeah. True that.
Racist.
Yeah, 40%. I mean, so what do y'all think about, you know, what do y'all think about this idea of putting off divorce plans and essentially becoming permanent roommates out of necessity because of the economy.
That's nothing but a Band-Aid.
I couldn't handle that. You see, here's the deal with that. You got all the responsibilities of being married and none of the benefits. You got all the responsibilities of being single and none of the benefits. I'm not kidding.
That's true.
You get caught up in a limbo state. Okay, what are you going to do, bring your honey home? Huh.
Mm.
You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't work for me. I mean, you got to either we got to work it out or that's it. I mean, it just can't be, oh, you know, that's your room, this is my room, or that's your side of the bed, this is my side of the bed. Now, some folks can pull that off. That doesn't work for me.
Not only that, you're bonding in so many ways as far as, like, you know, within your marriage. You know, you may say that you're going to be separated or anything like that, even though it's, you know, financial. You say, okay, we're going to, you know, do our separate things, but at the same time, you're still considered married. So your thoughts on separation may be different from your spouse's.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it could be a thing where, I thought we were going to work it out. We just, you know, was on bad terms. We're going to live in a different area. But I just, you know, I heard you was at the club.
How you going to feel when she brings Long Dong Silver in there? And the pants starts squeaking.
Yeah.
You going to be cool with that?
Yeah, we'll definitely get into that. But, I mean, anybody else, what do y'all think of this idea of, you know, just putting off the divorce and becoming roommates because of the economy? What do y'all think about this idea? I want to hear from somebody else on it.
I mean, I think if it gets to that, you might as well try to work it out. That's, if you can't afford to get divorced, sounds like it may be salvageable.
Mm, good words.
You want a divorce, money is not going to stop you from leaving. You'll have to shack up with someone or do something else, but you will get out of that bad marriage.
In all honesty, who can afford a divorce?
Exactly.
I mean, I don't even think Paul McCartney could really afford what he ate. You know, who can afford? There's not a person in the world that they can say they can afford a divorce, because at the end result, you don't know what you're going to negotiate with. Somebody going to lose out big time. So who can, you know, like I said, sometimes everybody says it's cheaper. But who can afford a divorce? And I think that honestly, you know, some people say we're just going to work it out for the kids because, you know, they know financially if they're in a struggle right now, they're definitely going to be in for a struggle afterwards.
Yeah.
Got that right.
And I also found out that the number of divorces actually declines as the economy declines. I don't know if y'all were aware of that. And that's probably, you know, some of that, as the brother was saying, you know, it's like, who can afford it? You know, so especially in a bad or weak economy. But flipping that around, do y'all think that there's a decline in the number of people that are getting married because of the weak economy? A decline in the number of people actually tying the knot because of the weak economy?
I want to go back to
we would.
Oh, go ahead, brother. Somebody
want to
go back?
I want to go back to a point that you made in reference to the economy preventing divorces. I think that the thing that initiate divorce may change too. If you're a man and you like to have three or four women and do hotels and you're winding and dining other women on the side, your finances may not be ready for that. So you may have to opt to stay home. You see what I'm saying? And vice versa. You may be the kind of, there may be a woman that likes to take trips and do things and be married at the same time. Well, now she can't afford it, so now she got to stay home. So the lack of funds for cheating and doing other things outside the marriage may be keeping people together as well.
Good words.
I think kind of reaching on that question, which you were just about to ask about, you know, how many people are deciding not to because of the economy. I mean, in all honesty, if you're in a courtship right now or if you, you know, have a fiance, you know, you might be in postponement because some jobs not even promised to, you know, tomorrow. You know, especially the downsizing of the economy and downsizing of a lot of your major companies and corporations. So that also might put a hindrance on those big wedding plans or a wedding at all, at least, you know what I mean? Because you don't even know if the person you're going to marry is going to have that next job. You know, everybody wants to be secure and know that they have a secure future. And I think that the way the economy is right now, I mean, it's, you know, money isn't everything, and, you know, but at the same time, that's going to have your dream wedding. It's going to turn around and have your dream home. It's going to turn around and have your dream family. And if you're not as secure in what your spouse is going to have the next, you know what I mean, that job the next day, I mean, that might have put a halt on everything.
And do you also think, brother, that, you know, back to what you said earlier, do you think that the decline in the number of people getting married is because of a fear of divorce? I mean, we just said that divorce is expensive, like a wedding. It's expensive, but, you know, do you think that's also a subtle fear of, you know, getting divorced?
I don't think anybody goes into getting married with the fear of divorce, but at the same time, as much it is a part of our society, you know.
Yeah, it's the norm.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, it's you know, nobody wants to go in and say, you know, well, I'm going to be married to this person for 20 years, but I think that's about all I can take. You know, nobody says that. But at the same time, like you said, you turn on the TV and
if it didn't work out, you don't try to work it out. You just move out. You just move.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of people that get married with in the back of their mind saying, if things don't work, I can move on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you add in what the economy says. We say, hey, we can just sign and go our separate ways because we both broke. We ain't got no money, so. You know, let's sell the house and split a half down the pike. And I mean, if you think of how many houses are, you know, in foreclosure now, how many of those that are gone in foreclosure due to divorce?
Yeah, literally, speaking of that, I had a house on my street four doors down was auctioned off this week. You know, I see the big signs, you know, auction. And I knew it was foreclosed on, but, you know, I don't know what happened to it. But at least they, you know, they kept the property up. You know, they cut the grass. But I knew it's been vacant for years. I mean, probably 2 or 3 years. So it went under a long time ago, but yeah, I mean, it happens. And, you know, back to what, you know, about that statistic, that poll I told y'all, roughly 40% of people are thinking about it. So, you know, literally, it's there. You know, it's there. But I want to ask y'all this. Would you rethink divorce if you were on your wife's good health insurance plan?
Man, that's shallow.
Huh? Would you rethink divorce?
Now, if you don't have any, you better think about it.
And you know, if you're a guy like me, now, you know, I don't know if a lot of y'all know it or not, but, you know, I have a pre-existing condition. You know, a couple of years ago, I had my thyroid gland completely removed. You know, so literally I have to pop a pill for the rest of my life. And which requires a prescription, and, you know, I can't take the generic brand. And, you know, like the brother said, I don't have insurance at my job. I'm on my wife's health insurance. You know, so her plan better than mine, so I don't have health insurance. I mean, you a guy like me with a pre-existing condition, you know, obtaining affordable health care coverage, you know, it might be difficult.
Better hang on for the health insurance.
Can you imagine your you know, for those single people out there now, imagine that being a part of your questionnaire when you first start dating, or somebody like what kind of health insurance you got?
Pretty much. Yeah, but I mean, even flip that around, fellas. What if she's on your good health insurance plan? You know, I mean, you drop her. I mean, that'd be like getting a raise.
I'm going to tell you, that's true. But at the same time, you're still going to pay. You're going to be paying for somebody's health, especially if you got kids.
Unless, yeah, I mean, when you get to that man with that black coat, you got that in front of him. He gonna get his. She gonna get hers regardless.
you gotta keep him on
that package. That's gonna be part of that written paper once you go in front of that man in the black coat.
That's not gonna be you saying I'm just dropping you. He's gonna say you got to cover him.
And it's gonna be a document that you have to do it.
Nah.
I knew it. Go ahead, sir.
I've been there, and I had that exact thing happen when I got divorced. And we had a family health insurance plan. It was actually my policy. And my wife, my ex-wife said, asked me, could she stay on the policy? Because she just started her job, a new job, and she wanted to wait till her insurance kicked in. And I was like, sure, no problem, you can stay on it. But there was nothing mandating her to stay on it. There was no separation papers, no court thing. I had to keep any kind of insurance on her. Now, the kids, if you had insurance on the kids going into the divorce, yes, you have to maintain that, but nothing with the spouse.
That all depends on the lawyer she's got.
Well, yeah. If you're going to get divorced, you got to have a, you have to go in there with a barracuda.
Yeah, you got a hardcore that wants everything, every penny. And you got a mad wife.
You're a man. You got to go in there with a barracuda, spend the money.
That's right.
With a barracuda and make sure it's a woman. Barracuda. I got it.
Good work.
What I found is there's no such thing as an amicable divorce. It always gets nasty.
Anybody else want to speak on that health insurance plan? We'll make sure we got everybody in here.
You better stay married, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, the rule is it's cheaper to keep them.
Yeah.
The truth.
But, you know, if you did decide, if y'all decided to permanently separate, would you still go to social functions together as a couple?
Please.
Huh?
That's that front right there.
I've seen it happen, man. That's when you're putting up that front.
So no?
Where you park down the street and then y'all, you know.
Meet at the front door?
Yeah. Then y'all walk up together and go into the building.
Why would anybody want to do that? I don't get that.
Hey, it's cheaper. You know, and plus, you know, he's a good date.
Why not just work it out? You know what I'm saying? Why not just figure out what the problems are and solve the problems? You're spending all this time trying to play married.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be easier just to solve the issues?
It would be.
Because the problem is the issue is in you, and you're going to carry that issue to the next relationship anyway.
Yeah, that's actually man, this is amazing. And I wanted to ask, you know, just following up on what Andrew just said and also what he said earlier. Should you be allowed to date other people in this situation?
Wow. Man.
Should you be allowed to date other people? Y'all permanently separated, you know, talk to me. Should
what do you mean permanently separated?
You're just roommates. Can't afford to get divorced. You know, you just from soulmates to roommates. We're gonna get to the back to the soulmates part later on, but now you're just roommates. Should you be allowed to
date
other people?
And you living in the same house?
Correct.
That's not a separation legally.
Yeah. I mean that's
that has to be a very good mutual agreement.
And no self-respecting brother is going to let that happen. I'm trying to tell you. Now,
that's
we made
exactly
money.
Right.
When
you're going to say, okay, when the tie is on the doorknob, don't come knock.
You're not going to let that happen, man.
I'm talking about you.
Going down. You're not going to go for that, man. I mean, no, Leroy the Gunslinger's in the next room, and you okay? Come
no,
on.
No, y'all missed the question. I said you. Should you be allowed
to date other people?
I'm not talking about her, but I'm not talking about her. It's nothing to do with her right now.
Yeah,
should
but how
you be allowed?
But what I'm
gonna
saying
do that
is
not.
What I'm saying is if you trying to play with fire like that, like you, if I'm out there dating another chick and you're supposed to be separated, and she's gonna try to play that role too, it's gonna come back and it's gonna hurt you. Dudes don't take that real well.
Got that right.
Well, let me ask you this. If you decided to just permanently separate, would you change your Facebook status to single?
I've seen some people that haven't decided they're going to do that and change it to single.
before they decide, Andrew?
I've seen them change it to separate, but I haven't seen
them. Are using their married, their maiden name, and all kind of stuff.
Wow. Anybody else, what y'all think? Should you, you know, y'all permanently separate, or should you just change it on Facebook to single?
That Facebook would get you divorced real fast.
I would add that status doesn't mean anything on Facebook. It's just all open season.
Right.
Yeah.
Good words.
Yeah. And you still gotta be respectful of each other. And that would raise questions, unwanted attention. So I would leave the Facebook thing alone.
Yeah, I'm back to that, you know, that you know, separated, living in the same house, sleeping in the same bed deal. I don't get that because, like I said, you get caught up in this limbo state where you got all the responsibilities and none of the bennies.
Don't sleep in the same bed because that's very difficult.
You know, I mean, and then, okay, let's just say y'all have a great arrangement, and she says, okay, you know what? We're going to stay together. We got kids. That's your side of the bed. This is my side of the bed. You don't touch me. I don't touch you. And y'all are okay with that. All right? And you can date and I can date. How are you going to tell the next woman that you're with, yeah, I'm sleeping with her, but we got an arrangement?
Never happened.
I mean, so Andrew, what would you say if someone asked you what was your relationship status? Who would you tell them?
I wouldn't be in that situation. Because
let's just hypothetical. What would you say if someone asked you what was your relationship status if you were hypothetically in this situation? We're in hypothetical tonight.
I mean, you know, I have to lie.
Why?
I'd be like, you know what? I used to be married, but I'm not married anymore.
Yeah, and even if you were, I mean, the fact that you're still legally married and living with your wife.
Right.
Might be a turnoff for most women, but not all.
Well, that's true. Okay, there's some women that once you get married, it's open season. And because they don't want a commitment. All they want is Tuesday night. They don't want you chasing them. I'm serious.
Can't have Tuesday. You got a brethren on Tuesday night.
Yeah, okay. And, I mean, there's some women that... I mean, they have been through whatever they've been through, and they don't. They want a married man.
Mm. Good words. Anybody else? I want to go back to Facebook just a bit. We actually talked about it last month. Am I going to let Facebook ruin my marriage? But, you know, speaking of Facebook, I think the brother mentioned it, but could your Facebook updates or your tweets on Twitter or other social media posts be obtained and called into evidence during the divorce proceedings?
Absolutely.
Speak on it, brother.
If they can fire governors and mayors over text, you can forget about it for your marriage.
Good words. Yeah,
the funny thing to me is people think that the stuff they put on Facebook and Twitter and all that is private.
Right.
That's funny.
For those that don't know, text messages stay in your records for 2 to 3 years. So if she ever gets your code and go in there, if you're doing something, it's over.
Wow. 2 to 3 years? I didn't know that.
Yeah, 2 to 3 years.
And delete is not erased.
Yeah, 24 months. 24 months at a minimum. You can go out. You can go out on your Verizon right now and see what happened 24 months ago.
Wow. Some of the brothers thinking they might go out there and check. See what she been texting.
That wasn't to get nobody in trouble. That was not to get nobody in trouble.
They think they're writing that down, brother. They like, 24 months. I know she went on that conference. Tyrone was there. No,
don't think they don't go back and check.
Yeah, but divorce attorneys say that they've seen an increase in the number of cases using social networking, you know, as evidence. And it said 20% of divorces involve Facebook in some way, shape, or form.
I can't believe it.
So, I mean, in a situation, as the brother said, where, you know, things get ugly with custody arrangements or assets, I mean, you know she'll use any ammunition, you know, you leave online to discredit you. You know that.
First of all, you know, if you know anything about software, you can get tracker software that can track every keystroke. I don't care what you erase and how much you do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if anybody has a little bit of computer wisdom, they can get in there, and you have no idea that everything you do, they're seeing.
Yeah, your Google searches and
everything, every keystroke.
Too much work.
Too much work?
Yeah.
Too much work.
My fault.
Hey, I'm telling you what, I dealing with the situations that my wife and I deal with on a regular basis, we see people pull stuff out and be like, bam, this is what you sent to Honey Honey Hoo Hoo.
Wow. And they not know it?
Wow. You know, he got a date Friday night.
Wow.
Oh, I'm not kidding you. I'm serious.
Wow.
He thinks because, you know, he's hitting delete and all this, everything's cool. And she remotely installs software that sends her an email of every keystroke.
Wow. That's crazy.
I mean, they got to advance. Whatever happened to just the black planets? Just leave it at that. You know, now, I mean, the Facebook, everything, we have that situation even going on at work where, you know, we have employees who like to talk in codes. But little do they know, you know, we have corporate actually looking at, you know, things of that nature that has to deal with the company and getting on into people's Facebooks and you know, getting into their Facebooks, copying, you know, what they say on the Facebook, you know, bringing it to meetings, people getting fired because of that stuff, man. It's just, you know, and you have some people do it from their phones. It's just like, it's their way of life now, you know.
And the funny thing is people think that it's private.
No. And that's the thing. You know, these people, they just don't seem to understand that it's not. You know.
Good words.
What?
Uh-oh, somebody's in trouble. But is it possible, you know, in this situation, being permanently separated, is it possible you might actually like this particular arrangement? I mean, could you actually, you know, get along better than ever, you know, with this kind of arrangement, just being roommates, putting a tie on the door, you know, when I got Chicky over? I mean,
the only way I think
I can't imagine a man being okay with that.
The only way I think a man would possibly be remotely okay with that if he's still getting the occasional knee dirty from the wife. And he's able to bring Sasha in on the other nights of the week.
Wow.
Yeah, but how would she be? How would he be when Long Dong Silver pulled in?
I was about to say the same thing. Because if you start hearing that thing from the next room over,
I mean, how would you be hearing the moaning and the groaning and the squeaking of the mattress and you sitting in there and the doorbell rang and you opened the door and you let Long Dong Silver in?
Hey, you got to be a big boy about it.
I'll never be that kind of big boy.
I would never be. I don't think men really take that too lightly. I mean, I just don't believe that they do. Honestly, I know I wouldn't be able to.
I'm with you. I wouldn't either.
I really wouldn't. Women, you know, women are wired differently. You know, men see that as a threat. You know, on the other side of that, you know, if the lady's opening up the door for you know, for your company to come over, you know, you would like for her to understand. Men will not understand that. We will not understand. There will be an altercation, maybe a case.
Mm. But let me ask y'all this: would it be considered cheating while the divorce is still pending? You know, the divorce is, you know, still, you know, y'all going through the process and everything is moving forward. Would y'all consider that cheating while the divorce is still pending?
Y'all still living in the same house?
Living in the same house?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a problem.
Yeah, that'd be a problem.
If she done moved out and got her own spot and that kind of, that's a different situation. But y'all still living under the same roof, that'd be a problem.
I mean, first of all, y'all lived in the same roof. Y'all married with problems. You're not separated. You have to be living separately in separate locations to be separated.
Yeah, see, that's what that means to me.
Y'all just got issues sleeping in different beds or whatever the case may be, but you're still married.
Because if you're separated but you still live in the same house, that to me that sounds like you still got a chance, whatever the case may be.
Exactly. And I don't know about other states, but in Maryland, every night that you're living there is tacked on to your year.
That's right.
You're separated for a whole year. So every night you're living in that house is a year away from you getting legally divorced.
That's right. And you go, if you move back, that's another year.
It's another year.
Wow. Wow.
Listen, I got a question.
Go ahead, brother.
I mean, we're talking about, you know, the husband and wife here. But how does that affect the vibe in the home when you're talking when you add your kids involved? You know, dad is sitting in the guest room.
So you're talking about how would a permanent separation, what we're talking about tonight, how would that permanent separation affect the kids?
Right, and you're still staying in the same household.
Somebody have to speak on that. I know somebody can.
That honestly is a very, it's a very difficult situation. And it's especially with small kids. It's that's when you got to tread lightly on that. Honestly speaking, it's probably one of the hardest things that you could actually. Have a conversation with your kids. I mean, to me, that's even harder than having a conversation with your kids about sex. It's one of those things that you're putting on. It's a fallacy. You know. Some people say, well, we stay together for the kids, but kids are smarter than you think. If you know your household is not right, you guys are different than where you were before as far as your attitude towards each other, as far as the things you do together, as far as the time you spend together. Kids are smarter than you think. And that living in the house and, you know, saying you're separated, I mean, you have to really call it what it is. You really do. You have problems. You know, if you're going to be separated, then you have to get out of the house because it's given a false, it's false for the kids. It's false for the whole thing. It's false for your separation, false for your pending divorce. If that's what it is, it's just false. And carrying kids through that, you know, through that kind of thing, man, is... That's a bad thing.
Yeah, that's the worst part of it. And a lot of times you're looking out for yourself and you're saying, I'm not happy, I need to go find happiness, I'm stressed out, you know, all those selfish things.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, you know, we just don't get along, you know, we're fighting all the time, blah, 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 I need to, somebody else, you're not my soulmate, all those things go through your mind. But half the time it's never about what condition are my kids going to be in when I'm out of here. And when you do have the talk, they may say, okay, Daddy, I understand you come pick me up on weekends or whatever the case may be, but
man,
they have no clue what damage that they're about to go through.
Brother, you have no idea, none whatsoever. And just by you even making that statement right there about having to go every weekend, or you get them every other weekend, I mean, just imagine how you try to explain that. You and mommy and daddy, you're having a house, you're having a home, and then all of a sudden your weekends are scheduled. That's one of the worst things to ever go through. And just like you said, if you're separated, man, you living in the same house, you still got a chance. Because at the end of the day, man, you're grown adults, but when you look at that kid, man, that kind of messes with your insides a little bit.
So y'all saying tell the kids, what would y'all say would be the appropriate age to tell them?
When they're old enough to leave.
Say what? Say again?
When they're old enough to have their own place.
Their own place?
That's the appropriate age to tell them.
So let me ask you this.
They're not stupid. They're going to know what time it is.
For real. That's for real.
Would it make a difference if your kids were grown and out of the house? Like they wasn't even at home? I mean.
Yeah. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. At that point,
mm-hmm.
they're like, okay, yeah, you know, I'm living my own life anyway, so y'all go ahead and do what you got to do to be happy. But
that's
going to
make it even worse. I hate to say it that way, but that's going to make it even worse.
Because you don't know how long that's been going on. Like how long has it been?
And like y'all said, the kids ain't stupid. They can understand the vibes of your own parents.
Exactly.
They can understand. They've heard the arguments and the yelling with you behind the closed doors. And they know when you're mad and when you're happy and when it's a front. So it's better tell them up front. And they have a longer time to balance that out. I was just talking to a lady, a coworker today, and she was taking over her grandbabies because, you know, her husband and her son and her daughter were going through some hard times. He was in the army, went over Iraq. He didn't come back the same. And, you know, she took them some time to take the kids out of that environment so that they can get their lives together, and it never worked. And now the kid is acting out in school based on that. You're messing around, had a kid with a polo on their cheek. Polo sign on their cheek.
Good words. Has anybody ever heard of the concept of bird nesting? Bird nesting. Has anybody ever heard of that? Bird nesting in this scenario. What it is the kids stay in the family home full time, and the ex-spouses trade off living at the house and at a rented apartment or with a friend, a family member, or wherever they go. So the kids stay, they get off the bus or whatever they do. They're full time at the house.
Like down the case, plus eight.
Yeah, and the spouses just trade places. You know, somebody come in and tuck them in, and, you know, somebody come in and make them breakfast. What do y'all think of this concept of bird nesting in this scenario, this situation?
Is it going to catch on, man? Your mom and dad not doing the same thing. You can't eat breakfast in the morning together. You know, it's one does one thing, one does the other at a different time. Kids are going to catch on to that.
He's right, man. Just like any other lie, you're going to be found out. And then what?
You know, that's one of those things that, if you know, like I know, you're going to try to work it out. You got to. I'm going to share a short story with y'all, and I've got to go to bed soon. But,
right.
I kind of just listening to this whole conversation, it's kind of bringing me to my own reality. Married before, married at 19, got separated in New York. Separation lasts for a whole year in the state of New York. when everything is said and done, dude she cheated on me with, she ended up marrying. My daughter went to Hawaii at 3 years old. Never got a chance to really explain what happened. To this day, she don't know. To this day, that's her dad. I'm on the birth certificate. That's my blood, but she has no idea who I am. Because the whole time, it was never being able to explain. You guys are speaking about Facebook. She's got a MySpace page. I finally got in contact with her about a year ago. But she does not know who I am. So I'm in this process of thinking, how am I supposed to break this down to her? So I can't come off like some kind of crazy, you know, person on the internet trying to get in touch with this person and her not know who I am. But do I disclose who I am and take that chance of scaring her away or her asking these questions and it finally coming up? Or should I befriend her for a little bit and kind of let her get to know me?
So she has no idea that the man that your ex-wife is married to is not her father?
Is not her father.
How old is she?
She is now, like I said, last time I seen her, she was 3. She will be 14 June 7th.
Wow.
So I had to, you know, for that time, of course, she could, you know, she knew who I was. Call me daddy. Like I said, had that arrangement, had to pick her up. You know, I was in the military at the time, so she had to come back to the barracks with me. She had, you know, wife had the house. That, you know, that's that situation where I had to get up and go, and she had the house. You know, and this is, you know, anybody who's been in the military, if your colonel gets involved, you know it's all about the spouse, especially if you're infantry. You always got a home at the barracks, so I had to move. So, I mean, that's the kind of situation I'm in now. So, man, that's what I'm saying, like, you know, anybody in that separation thing and you have an agreement, stuff like that, if you're still in the household, man, you got a chance. Because if not, what hurts most in the end is your kids. Y'all may not be able to work it out for yourselves, but at the same time, you can't play a certain role to your kids and have that be false in their life, in their part of their lives as they're growing up, thinking that their mom and dad is okay when all along it was just, I said, it's just a fantasy, just a fallacy.
So. Brother, you bring up a good point, and thank you for sharing that. I was going to ask that question. You know, does it make a difference if they're biological versus non-biological? I mean, you got kids at the house, and they're not yours. I mean, are you biased towards your biological versus your non-biological kids if they're in the house? Are you more concerned with your biological kids' well-being and kind of just like, well, you know, they ain't even really my blood, so I don't even really care? I mean, does it make a difference when you talk about this? Is it the biological versus the non-biological?
I think in the beginning, yes. But once you get around that child and you get connected, all love then at that point. I mean, once the connection is made between you and that child, I don't think it'll ever go away.
Words. Anybody else? Biological versus non-biological kids?
And to me, you know, when a situation that like that happens, when it involves children, man, they don't know the way of the world. They don't know, really, especially the small kids, really not, you know, what's going on. So a lot of this, and I'll say in most cases, you know, it's not their fault, of course. It's not their fault. So at the same time, you know, trying to bring a kid into a different kind of element, into an extended family element and everything, I just think that almost you have to kind of just treat them like your own because you don't know what they've been through, you know, especially if you're just meeting somebody or, you know, and they're going to be, you know, become a part of your family and things like. You don't know the emotional state that they, you know, that they've been through. So I mean, I just think that, like you said, it's all love. Bringing that child in and teaching them the love that you know, the love that you teach your children. I think that's what you got to do.
Yeah. I mean, in the situation, you know, with the permanent separation, I mean, the primary consideration is always financial. I mean, it's not familial. It's always about the money and the effect of, you know, as y'all said, the effect of endless separations on the children. That's rarely our priority. Rarely our priority. So, you know, we got to think about that. But I want to ask y'all this. Speaking of the kids, in this scenario, would you still take family vacation together, including the kids? You know, y'all.
All that means is that there's still hope.
Oh. Yep.
There's still a plan. There's still a foundation. There's still something there. So don't play the role like, yeah, we're getting divorced if we're still carrying on activities like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Just like your brother said, if you're still in the house, there's still hope.
Good word.
Something is going to remind you all of the people that you were prior to that drama.
Yeah. Yeah.
That vacation might even just bring it all back for you.
Yeah, and you're exactly right, brother. And I actually was going to say that if you're having financial struggles, you shouldn't be going on vacation. But, you know, that's what I was going to say. But what time is it, fellas?
10 o'clock.
It's 10 o'clock. I just want to make sure my clock reads what your clock reads. It's that time. And we're talking about vacations and, you know, just might bring it back, you know, to what y'all had before, with separation and all that. I want y'all to listen to this. 7 seconds.
I'm tired of sleeping in the other room, spending them long nights, trying to figure out what in the hell in my heart I ain't doing right.
Have y'all ever heard of estranged spouses with benefits? It's pretty much the same concept as friends with benefits. So, I mean, as Usher just said, I mean, in this scenario, do you always have to sleep in another room, spending those long, cold nights alone? That's what the brother just said. What about that? Estranged spouses, y'all permanently separated, but y'all got the benefits. As the brother said, you know, you ain't sleeping in the other room.
That's hard. That's hard.
With this permanently separated thing.
Yes, but you still got the benefit. You know, y'all just waiting on the economy to crack up, you know, to pick back up. Got needs. She got needs.
That depends on your agenda. It honestly, it depends on if you are, you know, you did go through the legal matters of getting it a permanent separation kind of thing, but you're not divorced yet. It depends on your agenda. Are you really trying to fix it with your woman? Or is it just a need thing? Because if you're still emotionally attached and you still have that benefit, right? And you know what I mean? It's like nothing ever changed then. But that depends. It really depends on your agenda. Am I doing this just for needs? Because, you know, I call it a mercy situation. I'm just going to smash it, but I hate you all the time. So, or is it like you get in there and you know it gets that real good to the point like, man, I can't go through no divorce with this. This is what I'm going to give up. Man,
it's tough. Anybody else? Spouses with benefits, but permanently separated. I don't think they want to touch that. But honestly, as a brother said, I mean, can you really move on in this scenario? I mean, really? Can you really move on? Y'all living in the same house, you know, the divorce is on hold because of the economy. But can you really move on in this scenario?
What is the statistic with people moving, living in the same house, but as you say, permanently separated, or people just living in the same house, but that aren't getting along, but haven't had the separation discussion, but they're just living that way?
Roughly 40%.
You know, there's a lot of people that are in a bad marriage that haven't had that discussion. But there's
yes.
still people on their side of the bed, they're getting lines drawn. They're still going to the same functions, pretending
yes.
themselves as being married, lying to the children, to the neighbors, and all the coworkers. But they're still staying together.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Brad and Angelina every month. she just make Brad go to the guest house.
Wow.
Mm.
I mean, really, that's like I said, man. I honestly think that's a really hard thing just to deal with. You know, you won't be able to if it's going to be closer to it. That's not the way to achieve it. You know, you're never. I mean, you got to think. I live in Delaware. That's a small state.
Family reunion, nope. high school reunion at Walmart, right?
All you got to go is a Walmart. That's it. That's it. Somebody knows somebody that knows somebody else. You're going to pass your spouse some way or another in the state of Delaware.
Hmm.
Well, I said, if I ever get divorced again, I got to leave here.
You got to leave the state.
I got to leave the state. I can't do it.
So, I mean, in this scenario, you know, with the permanent separation, how long could you last living in this scenario? Hypothetically, would it be weeks? Would it be months? Would it be years? I mean, how long could you last living in this scenario?
Make sure I got it right. You living with your ex-wife or you living with your wife?
Living with your wife, soon-to-be ex-wife. Soon-to-be ex-wife.
3 months.
You said months?
I said 3 months.
Oh, 3 months, a quarter.
Let's see, April to October.
April to October.
Yeah, it's more than 3 months.
See, but the thing that I find, Rodney, that is that in that situation, both people are probably not going to be at the same place, and one of the couple is really wanting the marriage to work.
Hmm.
I mean, to truly have that quote-unquote roommate situation, both of the couple have to say, you know what, it's over, it's fine, you know, I don't love you anymore, whatever it is, we just roommates, and both of them would be at that same place at the same time. And that's a hard thing to really envision happening, because usually one of the two, you know, really would like the marriage to work, and are hanging on to some kind of hope. That this other partner one day will wake up.
So you're just saying that with permanent separation, people are just avoiding the unpleasant task of going through a divorce possibly?
No, but I'm talking about living in the same house. There's a lot of people that get separated, move to their own little place, and you know what, say, hey, you know what, there's no sense in us getting divorced. You know, I'm not looking to get remarried. That's the only reason that I need a divorce. You know, a lot of people hold on to that as a protection so they don't get too deep in another relationship.
Hmm. That's good words.
That is.
So let's say, you know, and if you do, again, hypothetically, you're in the situation and you do get a girlfriend. You know, she doesn't mind that you're still married and living with your wife, your soon-to-be ex-wife. She doesn't mind. She knows the deal. I want to ask y'all this. What happens when the girlfriend starts acting like a wife?
Well, I'll tell you what. I know personally of a situation that actually happened.
The husband and wife decided that, you know what, they're not together. They're living under the same roof for finances. He went out and got a girlfriend and told the girlfriend, you know, he was married but separated. And I didn't tell her that he was still under the same roof with her. And she thought something was kind of odd. She showed up at the door, and the wife answered the door.
Wow.
And, you know, she was obviously upset that he didn't tell her he was still living there. But the wife parroted the same thing. No, we're separate.
So she was like, come on in. You want something to drink?
Yep.
Wow.
And they kept the relationship, but the dude, he had to move out because the new girlfriend said, that ain't going to work for me.
Right.
But the wife, they really had that agreement.
I mean, what happens in, you know, the situation that the brother's talking about, what happens when the girlfriend wants to get married? I mean, is not being officially divorced an excuse not to remarry?
You can't remarry.
Yeah, it's illegal to divorce everything.
So what are you going to do? You know, the girlfriend wants to say, hey, let's get married. He's like, yeah, nah, no. No.
Well, then she knows what she's got.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. You have to tell her in the beginning of the relationship. I'm married, I'm separated, I'm not getting a divorce because we can't afford it, which is almost ridiculous, but it is ridiculous.
I'm telling y'all, this stuff is happening every day.
Oh, I know it happens. I was living the life like that.
Oh, you were?
I really think it's more of a protection.
Go ahead, brother.
I think it's more of a protection. Somebody, you know what, they've been married, it didn't work, and they don't want to get in that situation again, and it protects them from having to go through that whole situation.
Might be right. Yeah, but then at one time you have to look at yourself and say, look, I can't live like this.
Yeah, well, depends where your heart is.
Yeah, I mean, at some point you're going to want to move on.
Yeah, but I mean, I know people for years and years, I mean decades in that situation. You know what? I know situations that hit really close to home, that they got babies and other families and still married on paper.
Yeah.
Still married on paper.
I know a guy like that. He works for a sheriff's department. His wife is in New York. He's down here. He has a girlfriend. I'm pretty sure she has a boyfriend up there.
Wow.
And they have, you know, he has kids up there. I don't think he has any kids down here. But
that's a lot of work, man.
It ain't any work.
Here's the kicker. You're going to get old one day.
Okay.
Okay? You're going to get sick. You're going to need this. You're going to need that. And then they're going to go and try to attach the asset of your wife or husband. Because you're still legally married, and now you need to get into a nursing home, you need to do this, you need to do that, and it's going to cause you a world of hurt. Trust me, I know about this intimately.
Yeah. Yeah, but let me flip it to you. Even if, you know, you get old, you get sick, there's no guarantee that she's going to take care of you.
No, but here's the situation. Let's say she ain't going to take care of you, and you need to go into a nursing home, and you don't have the money. And she's got a house. They are going to attach that because you are legally married. And she's going to have a heck of a fight on her hands.
Sound a lot like Diary of a Bad Black Woman.
I'm telling you, man, I know about this really intimately. This is not cool. You see, legal marriage is a binding contract. It doesn't matter if you're not living in the same house.
I know.
The state doesn't care about that. Your assets are my assets.
Unless you got a written will.
That's it. And not even if you die, but if you live and get sick and now the state has to take care of you. They dwindle your assets down to next to nothing. And if you are still legally married, you are on the hook.
Yeah, Maryland, the state of Maryland actually recognizes two kinds of divorce, limited and absolute right. know, the first is just for a while, and the second is forever.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, limited divorce is like the legal measure between, you know, halfway between marriage and the complete severance, you know, of a divorce. So,
right.
Like a legal separation.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
But Virginia doesn't have a legal separation at all. You're just separated. You can be separated for a year, but you're still married, and you're also still. And it almost depends on who makes that contract. If she goes out and buys other things under her name, it's her responsibility. But here, you know, you have to be, if you have kids, you have to be separated for a year, can't cohabitate. And if you're don't have kids, you have 6 months, no cohabitation.
Wow.
In Maryland, it's a year.
You're all, whether you have kids or not?
Yep.
Kids or not, it's a year.
Oh.
Here. Now, if both of you are cool and agree to it, you don't have to deal with that, because both of you can say, yeah, we've been separate for a year.
Oh, see, we have to do it on an affidavit under penalty of perjury.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, affidavit, and then you have to have a witness that comes in under penalty of perjury to testify that says that they have not cohabitated.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
Yep.
Then they've done that.
Yeah. Mm. They've been there, done that. Yeah.
Well, the only exception in Maryland is adultery.
Right. But you still have to be.
You can prove adultery, you don't have to wait that year.
I think you still got to wait it here, though.
Yeah.
I think in Virginia, you still have to wait it here, but that's grounds for basically immediate divorce. But, you know, you don't have to, if she says she wants to attack your holdings or your money, if you can prove he or she's been adulterous, it gives you, this is in a, basically an argumentative for divorce. But we have something called like a no-fault divorce.
And that's nobody's fault.
That's like the amicable split, right?
Yeah,
like, we were walking down the street, and man, all of a sudden we got divorced.
Yeah. It's almost
slipped
like
on a banana peel and got divorced.
Uh-huh.
And
amazing.
there's the trick bag in Rodney's permanent live-in separation.
Yes.
At any given point, and I'm just going to say she, because this would probably be the person that does it, or it could be the man, any given point, they could get extremely upset and file a claim for adultery.
Mm.
Yep. He still lived in the house. Okay, last night, XYZ brought somebody in the house, and they were having sex. I got the tape, I got the audio, I got the video, I got everything I need as proof. And I want it all.
Wow.
Hey, man, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff we have heard. And there has been some straight up people setting people up.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about separated, the whole deal. You know, she brings in the, you know, tells her husband, come on, let's have a nice little meal. You know, he comes over, they take a shower, taps it, she cries rape.
Oh, man.
Drags him into court and had old boy arrested.
Yeah.
That's scorn, man. That's scorn.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
brothers, this is happening in our midst. Trust me when I tell you these things.
Do y'all, you know, ever stop and think, you know, just like the situation that the brother just explained? Do you ever wonder if guys, like, think that who is this woman that I married?
You got that right.
What you find out
is you're sleeping with the enemy.
I mean, as Brother P-Town talked about 2 weeks ago, the real-life victim of a marriage scam.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you even recognize her? Is this the same woman you dated?
And I'm going to tell you, I could be wrong, but this is usually a woman's deal, okay? She's been hurt, and she's going to pay you back. And see, we guys, we're too stupid to set that game up. But I have seen women set this game up on dudes and take them through the mill.
Uh-oh.
Because we're so dumb, we walk right into it.
How do you mean? What do you mean?
Well, like I just told you, that scenario, that was not made up. That's real life happening in our church as we speak. Okay? Dude didn't know he was walking into a setup. Okay? You know what I'm saying? And she's been hurt because dude had stepped out, and she's going to pay him back. And by claiming rape, she can destroy him.
Right. Yeah.
And had the lawyers set him up and the sheriff taking him into a custody. He didn't even know what he was walking into.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you. Okay. When you see these scorned women, man, some of them, and I'm going to tell you, I was with one of them. They, you know, I had my ex-wife, she wasn't my ex at the time, told me, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to destroy you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, every way I can destroy you. I am going to destroy you. She
Why
tried.
Did they do that?
Huh?
Here's the question.
Okay.
Why do they go at it from that angle? We're not getting along. I'm not happy. I'm going to destroy you.
I think that there's some people, when they get hurt, that's their reaction, because they've never understood forgiveness, and what they have is payback.
I mean, but what is there to forgive? If you're in a relationship, it's not working. Okay, it's mutual. It's not working. I'm not happy. You're not happy. We need to do something.
Well, what if it's not? What if you stepped out?
I want to, you know, there's consequences with that, I guess.
So that's going
on. And, you know, things happen.
Or your life.
Okay, but in any case, you know, I don't know. You it doesn't matter. You've got to come to a point of forgiveness, because you're going to destroy yourself. I've seen it happen.
But isn't that the nature of self-destructive people? Is that they proceed down that path without even knowing they're on that path?
Exactly.
Yeah, because they act out of hurt and pain instead of dealing with forgiveness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or she could be a drama queen, like we talked about last week.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's nothing you could do. She's just going to be, she can't remain civil, save her life.
But see, now the guys that get into this, okay, when a woman hurts them and then walks away, he's like, oh, no, if I can't have you, nobody can have you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I shouldn't say it's on the women. Women just have a different reaction, because they ain't going to kick you behind most of the time. You know, but the guys that do it, it's like, you know, heck to the gnaw. You know what? You ain't going to be with me. You ain't going to be with nobody.
Yeah, and if y'all were to find yourself in this situation, would you tell anybody, or would you just keep it a secret between the two of you?
What do you mean?
The permanent, you know, just like the brother said earlier in the first hour, that you're literally parking down the street, showing up to events together, just like you're happily married, but you're really not. You're really just living as roommates.
I don't know how you could want to be that way.
I didn't say you wanted to be that way. I'm just talking about the economy has forced your hand, and you literally cannot move out, or she can't move out because of the economy, where you pretty much, as you know, the brother said earlier, it's no result, no resolution. It's just like, we're just going to have to just meet me in at the 15th for the mortgage, the half of the mortgage payment.
Right.
I just can't imagine that paradigm, man. That's beyond me.
And I still believe that because of the economy, a lot of couples have stayed together, have remained together, and have
Thanks.
Tried to make it work.
Yeah, I tried to make it work, but not, okay, we're just roommates, and I'm going to go gunsling, and you can go pound who you want.
Doesn't there have to be a modicum of respect? And if you're going to do that,
right,
and make that decision and be roommates, then you and if you go into that under mutual agreement, then you would then say, okay, obviously, look, the rules of engagement are, there is to be no company at this house. You can
right.
go out and get a hotel and do what you have to do, but understand, we're going to live. If we're getting through this from a finance, because again, what's overriding it is finances. We can't separate physically with financially. So let's just stay in here until we either one of us gets on our feet to move,
But we have to, there had to be laid some ground rules. It comes back to communication 101.
Yeah, but if you couldn't communicate in the marriage, you ain't going to communicate in the divorce. Believe me. Okay. If you think communication was bad in the marriage, get divorced and see what happens. You couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's one
has absolutely zero meaning.
Yeah, but there's one overriding factor that I think you may not be addressing, and maybe you have, but your wagons are history to each other. It's almost like you're Siamese twins. When I move left, you have to move left, because basically, if you're telling me that we have to stay here, and you, in other words, she has no option to go anywhere to live, you have no option to go anywhere to live, then guess what? Then what overrides all that is there's got to be some common sense factor working there.
Yeah, I hear
your point, I think you're looking at it from a perspective of somebody being vindictive about it. But if you're at the point where you look, we know we can't do this, then you know what? Then we have to communicate that point.
Yeah, that brother's
it's
got
like,
it.
You see what I'm saying? Because like, okay, I hear you that, yeah, I can't be with you, and the thought of you makes me want to vomit. But I also know that if I don't stay here, I'm in a shelter.
Say that.
And I like my house.
Say that, brother. That's what that brother's got it. He's got the concept.
Yeah.
That brother's got it.
And I can speak. I speak from experience, because when my ex and I, when my son was 14 months old, we made the decision to live as roommates. You remember when I told you I moved to D.C.? When I moved into my condo in D.C., I said, well, look, obviously, you know, we could afford to live other places, but for the sake of my son, we said, look, let's do this together a year. Just so he can see us and continue to see us together when he gets a little older, and then we gradually work toward our split. Because again, the focus was on him. The focus was on, first of all, if your focus is on your libido, then you can't do that. You see what I'm saying? You got one thing we have to do is kind of put our libido on check and take care of business at home first. You know what I mean? And that's where it's really got to be.
That's good words. And I want to throw this out. You know, while the brothers are explaining the concept tonight, what if she makes more money than you do?
Keeper.
Then you better be nice.
You forgot. You better be nice. You forgot. You ain't living in a box.
You better be real nice. That's eating the humble pie.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to show out. You know what I mean? But think about it, though. You know what I mean? You ain't going to show out. If you know your lady holds the cards financially, you know, like they say, monkey know a tree to climb. You're going to show out to a point. You say, well, wait, ho, you know. I like this $6 square foot joint I'm living in right here. I know if I step out, I'm in my two-bedroom joint. You know what I mean? And me and my boys eating pizza on Friday. You know what I'm saying? Come on, get real now. You're like, oh, no, I like this gated community here. I'm going to stay here for a minute.
Good words, brother. He's got it. That brother's got it.
You flip the script. File for thoughtful support.
Right, that's right. What was it called, palimony? You know, something like that, you know, but
if she makes more than you just file for spousal support.
Yeah.
I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, but
let me
but let me flip that whole thing around. Let me just flip that around. What if your wife was a stay at home mom and had been out of the workforce for a significant period of time? You know, does that make a difference? When deciding whether you should leave or not, do you wait until she gets that job, good job with benefits, before you bounce?
Yeah, you should.
You should, you say?
Oh, yeah.
What's going to prompt her to get a job at that point? When she
Thank
knows
you.
That once you leave, you're
yep.
still paying. Even though you're not there, she still remains in the same lifestyle.
Yes. That's
you're
a good question.
Paying less. You're paying a little bit less. You're not paying the same amount because she's not working. You're paying your salary, her salary.
Yeah.
If she's working, it's some that reduces down.
Hmm. Good words, good words. Anybody else?
Hmm. Just think of that.
And let me throw this at you. Did she change once the money stopped flowing in like it used to? talking about the economy, yeah, you know, my hours got cut back a little bit.
Mm.
We can't go to Red Lobster or Morton's or Ruth Chris like we do.
It's like we used to.
Yeah, like we used to. You can't go shopping this month like you used to. Did she change once the money stopped flowing?
I think in a crazy kind of way that that can be a blessing. And, you know, the economy has affected a lot of people. And I think that now you have the opportunity to see what this person is made of. And when you got the money, you don't see that. You don't actually see how they're going to handle adversity. You know, and I think that's one thing that we don't get to see. But yes, okay, hours got changed, got to change occupations, whatever the case may be. Then you see if they're down for what else.
Right.
Most times you'll find out that they may not be because they got accustomed to the lifestyle, and that's what they want. And they don't understand what do you mean you got fired? What do you mean you got less hours? You know, you got to go get another part time job.
Hey, you know what, T? On that point, though, and I think you know you see this when you I came from the banking industry for a while, and I saw like I think. It hits home more. It's like when you feel your poverty when the people in your circle and you guys were of about the same means. Well, for instance, like you live in a nice, like after we go up in a gay community, you live in that community and your friends live in similar communities and then you all have to downsize or, you know what I mean? In other words, it's like now it's just not in your house. It's kind of on Front Street that something's wrong there, you know, financially. Y'all might, you know, that'll test the marriage, man.
Yeah,
because you know, see, because then the social pressure of it is, well, you know, yeah, we can't go on vacation with y'all this year.
Wow.
We'd like to go, we can't go. And
right.
It's like, you know, and honestly, you know, a lot of times it's you don't know who your friends are after that. I tell you that though. You know what I'm saying? you know what I'm saying? Like, are we bullied because every other month? We go out to Ruth Chris with our wives, and I treat this month, you treat next month, and when I stop going to Ruth Chris, then we're not boys no more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Because money plays into that, and I think, you know, that's, you know, but again, you know, if you're in it like to win it, as the vows would say, and I know that's not what the vows say, but if you're in it for the long term, then you know, then this too shall pass, and we'll get through this.
Right.
Or we'll just, like T said, we'll just adjust our lifestyle. Because I'm certainly, look, I work two jobs in college. I ain't trying to do it now.
Yeah, but what, you know, speaking of college, brother, you know, what about if she needs to finish school? You know, and, you know, y'all done came to this with roommates. You know, I'm out as soon as the ink is all, you know, we're about to get everything squared away. But would that be a good enough reason to delay the divorce proceedings if she needed to finish school, finish, you know, get that degree that she's been working on or whatever?
No.
And y'all at this point. What do you say, bro? Go ahead.
No, not at all. One thing has nothing to do with the other. You know, your schooling is your schooling. We're about to get divorced.
Wow.
That's
hardcore.
Are there children? Are there children, though? Are there children? You know,
yes.
In other words.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Then, you know, I just lived through that. I mean, I just got out of grad school, and though we were separated, you know, my ex made sacrifices for me. You know, like, I got to study this weekend. I can't get the boys. You know, can you keep them a little longer? Can I pick them up Sunday? You know, and again, that's that, hey, okay, I'm exhausted. You know, she's, God bless you.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying, the other brother, I think it was T, I hear what you're saying, but I think you got to say, yeah, let's, you know, again, the situation, it really depends on the situation. I mean, that's a tough call, though. That was an excellent variable.
I think you're still referring to the living at home, right, Rodney? Being somebody,
yes,
living in the
yes,
home.
Yes, happening every day all across the country, yes, sir.
Okay. And you're going to stay in that situation because she has to finish school. That's your question, right?
Yes. And that finishing school, you know, that's going to give her other opportunities, you know, higher paying job, you know, more career opportunities. So you might can bounce earlier. As soon as she get that degree, get that promotion, you can bounce.
Okay. I understand.
Go ahead.
No, you know what?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm good. I think one of the things that, and this is in my situation, one of the things my ex and I talk about, she laughs about it. She says, you know, the more you make, the less I got to pay for stuff when it comes to our son. We do have. You see what I'm saying? So we don't have, there's no hate there. So there's not like a lot of, like, there's no animosity. So it's not like, well, F your school, forget your school. That's your thing. I'm doing my, you know, because understand, if you have a child with somebody and you guys go into a split and you go into a situation where you think, okay, you know, I take care of the co-pays, you take care of half the insurance, you know, time to buy the school clothes, they're $300, when you got your $150, you know, summer camps of $2,000. I need your G in 2 weeks. Okay. Well, guess what? If you didn't go back, like, you know, we talk about going to school to get that extra paper, because that's, you know, we all go back to school to get extra paper. If you didn't go to school to get that extra paper, then you can throw that back at her in June. She says, "Well, I need money for summer camp." Well, baby, I got the same job. I'm still in class. I don't have a GED. You see what I'm saying? So in other words, if that does happen, then that bitterness comes back on you in a funny way. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, you can be
bitter about it, be nasty about it, but guess what? Now she's not when you, financially there where she wanted to be. Well, guess what? Now it's on you, big boy.
Yeah, but, you know, and I do understand that, and I can appreciate that.
Right.
But to stay in a household, sleeping in the separate rooms, separate beds, or the same beds, but there's a line drawn down the side, and I have to stay in this environment with you because you're going to school, right? Now, when are you going to graduate from school? When are you going to be done? Are you going to be taking two classes a year? I mean, how much longer do I have to endure this lifestyle until you graduate from school? You see what I'm saying? If we're going to get a divorce, I say, let's do our thing. And, again, I will help you if there's a child involved and you got to go take some night classes, drop the kid off, I got you. We can have an arrangement. But while we're still living in this household and we're planning to divorce, no, I cannot support you because now it's time for us to part our separate ways.
Well,
she
that makes total sense.
Yeah, I mean, you could say, well, you know, he's living here, he's paying half the bills, I'm paying half the bills, I'm going to milk this school thing as long as I can.
I think in that situation, I think a woman would be more inclined to say, you know what, I'm not going to rock the boat much because I still got 2 years of school to go and I can deal with his trifling blank, blank, blank behind until I get out of school. You know what I mean? I think most women are smart enough to get through that. We, you know, as men, I think we're the ones that would have trouble with something like that. Oh, I can't stand him. I just thought, I got to get out of here. You know what I mean? I think the women would be like, I'll roll with a simple behind until I'm out of school and then that's it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think in a situation like that, before you even get down to that, and I understand we're dealing with living as sort of soulmates and roommates, but I think the reality is you might play like soulmate, even though you know what I'm saying, just a little longer until some of those variables cleared up in your life, especially on the professional end. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think you get a little smarter when it comes. Well, maybe I won't yell about his underwear on the floor today. Okay.
All right. Well, let me throw another variable at y'all. What if your wife had a terminal illness or disease? Would that make a difference?
Yes. Of course.
You know, y'all done had your disagreements, and y'all have agreed to, you know, just be roommates. But then all of a sudden, she gets a bad report from the doctor. Say, yo, I'm not going to make it too much longer.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of person would you be to roll out at that point?
How much insurance does she have?
Spoken like a true player. Yes, he is.
Oh, man. Well, on that note... Yeah, Chiba, to keep on that note, the whole...
You'll get paid, bro. You can suck it up for 3 months.
Yeah. On that note, would you still file joint tax returns?
Yeah. Hey, they got that.
It depends on y'all's agreement.
Depends
on y'all's agreement.
The what?
It depends on y'all's agreement.
Oh, gotcha.
You need to really talk. You need to really talk it out.
Communicate, huh?
Yeah, we can get you an account, set up a special account that the money will go into or have. You don't want a deposit. You want the check to come right to y'all in the paper form so y'all can go, cash it right at the bank.
Gotcha.
Give my half, you get your half.
Done.
Or give me a fourth and you can take 3/4 because you got a kid, because, you know, something like that.
See, but that situation could not be open-ended. You would have to be growing toward that point of this is the time we're leaving. You couldn't live in that in perpetuity. It just would eat you up. Okay, because no, I don't care what you say. In your heart, you still have feelings for that woman.
Of course.
Now, those feelings might be hatred, but you got feelings.
but you
wouldn't be able to deal like this is just... You know, just another person renting a room or sharing a bed with you.
Well, I can say this, and my wife tells me this all the time. The opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference.
There you go. That's exactly right.
And that
is really true.
Because, you know, if you hate someone, you still feel emotion for them.
Yeah.
If you don't want to be, you know, you loved them at one time, now you don't care. You know, what they do, that's important. You're like, whatever. She's going such and such, whatever.
You're going to tell me that you get to the point that Long Dong Silver pulling up in there and you'd be like, whatever?
Right.
Indifferent?
Yeah, that's when you know you're done, though. That's when you know you're done.
You got that right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
me.
Yeah, you really
don't
have
the will to fight.
If you having a problem with her, having someone come in the house, then y'all are not done.
Y'all are not done.
If you don't have a problem, if you look at it and go, if you walk in and say, hey, yo, I got to cut the grass this weekend. You coming over to help me? Say, yeah. Then you're done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you'd be like, yeah, we need some groceries. You coming over, stop and get some groceries.
Yeah. Hey, on the way home tonight, on the way back to the house, could you bring some milk? We out of milk.
No. How about this? When you have Long Dong Silver's cell phone number, that's what you know you got.
I missed that one.
I missed that one.
You got to repeat that, brother. We couldn't hear you.
I'm just saying, when you got Long Dong Silver's cell phone number, you can call him up. You're like, bro, I know you're coming over tonight. Bring a six-pack of
Yes.
Wow.
That was crazy. That's crazy.
Y'all have lost
your mind. You are done. You are truly finished.
Yeah, you got that right.
Right.
You'd be like, hey, dude, you know, when you come, just bring me some weed.
Right. I mean, you know.
Oh, man. Y'all boys are funny.
Yeah. It was in a movie. The dude came out by to take one chick out for a date, and they end up playing PlayStation together.
Oh, yeah, the breakup joint, yeah.
Oh, man. But y'all are getting along the lines about to land this plane here, but what are the benefits of being married? What are the benefits of being married?
Benefits of being married?
Married.
Married.
Married. Oh,
married.
Yeah, what are the benefits of being married?
Never having to live in this lifestyle that you've been describing all night.
Now that quite sums it up, my brother.
It is. Very well said.
Yeah, because I mean, we talked about the tax returns, we got the tax breaks, you got, you know, co-parenting, you got stability, security, you know, all of that. But I'm going to take y'all back to, this whole thing that we're talking about tonight. And I want to ask this question. Can a permanent separation actually be better than a divorce? Can a permanent separation be better than a divorce?
Depends on the person.
What do you say?
It depends on the person. You know, some people, if they're willing to let it go, yeah, it can be, you know, y'all are still filing, depends on if you treat it like a business. Y'all still filing taxes together, even though y'all are separated. You know, y'all are making sure payments are being made, and the child and everything, the child care stuff is being taken care of, and she's under your insurance or you're under hers. Business, if you treat it as the true business.
Yeah. Yeah.
But once you let emotions get in, then it ain't business, it's personal.
Well, could this type of, you know, this whole agreement that we've been talking about tonight, a permanent separation, could a permanent separation appeal to people who don't want to get a full-out divorce strictly for religious reasons?
Oh, that's another part of that. That's a very good point.
I mean, they don't want to, you know, have that stigma, oh, I've been divorced. You know, they just, the permanent separation is something that might appeal to them.
Right.
Yeah, you're still living. There's something seriously wrong with that thing.
Mm.
Because you don't have the benefits of a single person, or you don't have the benefits of a married person. Married.
Yeah.
You're kind of stuck out there in limbo.
Yeah.
You know, y'all can go to the resort, but, you know, once you get behind closed doors, you're not doing the same thing that a single couple would do or a married couple would do.
And to that point, you know, you got that limbo piece you just mentioned. I mean, at what point do you say to yourself, I mean, that's almost like a, if you're doing it just for religious purposes, then you're really not doing it for, to me, it's more like religious pressure. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because then you're allowing people who don't mean anything to you in your life outside of just seeing them on Sundays and maybe Wednesday night at a Bible study to sort of dictate how you're going to live your life, that's crazy. You know, you got to check. That's when you say, you know what, if they still feel that way about me knowing that I'm divorced, then you know what, that's more their problem than mine. But I'm not going to put myself through this. That's like self-imposed, like T said, it's almost like putting yourself in like self-imposed exile or something like, or, you know, like the self-imposed limbo, excuse me, better.
Yeah.
So is there an advantage to getting divorced?
Closure?
Closure, separation. You might get your smile back.
Yeah, you
get another smile back in, and gray won't disappear, but you get that stressed look off your face.
That's right. You get another shot at it.
So is there ever a good time to get divorced? A quote-unquote good time to get divorced.
That's never a good time to get divorced, man. You got to work it out.
Got to work it
argue.
Out.
People
if you
got
to get divorced, man, you need to get on this phone call right here.
Well, people would say that the best time, if you had to do it, was once your kids are out of the house.
Mm.
When your kids are what?
Out of
the house.
See, I can say my mother grew up, she's a divorced. Her parents were divorced. Well, my mother and my grandmother and grandfather divorced. And she used to say, and it depends on the person, because my mother used to say that she was told that the only reason I'm still with him is because of you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
That's real pressure.
Yeah, so now you have to make sure that you want to live. You have to make sure that you're happy so you can make your children happy. Because, you know, children will see what they... Children, you might want to hide it, but you can't hide it from a child.
And they carry that burden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Because they'll think that guilt is on them.
Mm-hmm. They've done something wrong.
Yeah, so my mother has lived with that for a long time, that, you know, she's heard, you know, I'm the only reason, she was told, the only reason we stay together is because of you. And so when she got divorced, she was like, I ain't going to live like that. And when I got divorced, I'm like, I ain't going to live like that, you know. And I have a 10-year-old now, well, she's getting ready to turn 11, and a 6-year-old. And I've been divorced for about 2 years. Been separated for, you know, the total separation is about 3. My little girl was about 7, and my boy was only 3. And you tell them, you know, you have to tell them, kids are more resilient than we were growing up. You tell them, look, this is the deal. I love you. It's nothing that, you know, we separated, nothing because of you. And mommy and daddy still love you, but mommy and daddy can't be together right now. Okay.
Yeah, that's a tough conversation, but you got to articulate that. But, you know, I want to ask you this, brother, and I want to take you back, you know, for just a moment. I mean, when you were standing there at the altar, or anybody, you know, anybody, this is for anybody, when you were standing there at the altar, did you honestly envision yourself getting so fed up, you know, to the point where you were literally
at the altar getting married?
Yeah. I mean, you standing there, I mean, did you envision that one day you'd be ready to sign them papers with this woman?
Not at the altar.
Not at the altar?
Not at the altar, but we used to have a joke, me and my first wife, and it's not a joke, you know, when we get divorced. That used to be the rolling thing.
Wow.
When we get divorced.
Repeat that, please.
Like, not at the altar. But
not at the altar?
Not at the altar. We didn't have that problem. But as time went on, we used to say, when we get divorced, you know, we're going to do this, that, and the other. When we get divorced, I'm not getting remarried, and blah, 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 blah. So,
but yeah. didn't your mama
you
warn you?
You already put the option in place.
Yeah.
There was
a
chance that divorce may be an option we would have to use.
Whenever divorce is an option, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get divorced.
Wow.
Did my mother warn me? Did you say?
Yeah, I was saying, didn't your mother warn you about her that this could unfortunately be the outcome if you decided to marry her?
No.
No?
No.
I know the brother last week did. He said, man, my mama told me.
Yeah, no. I didn't listen. Yeah. That was something that the mom saw that she didn't like about that woman.
Yeah.
Well,
another thing, man, about the whole kid piece. I know that, you know, you got young kids, and I've been through it too, man, you know, being divorced with kids. And I think that the most important element to the conversation of their new lifestyle is consistency. Never break a promise.
Right.
Never break a promise. When you say I'm coming Friday, 5, they're going to be waiting for you.
Right.
You can't be in a situation where it's like you're trying to move on with your life, you don't hook up with a new shorty, and now you can't make it. You see what I'm saying? Because I went through that. My ex started her life. And when she started her life, I had to kind of explain the fact that, you know, she wasn't going to be around much. But I understood what she was doing, and I respected it, because you got to move on, but you still got to keep those kids first. Because
right.
They got it rough. They're going to have it harder than you. Because, again, they don't know what's going on. They know what you're telling them, but the reality of it is mommy and daddy aren't together anymore.
Right.
And I'm not seeing them in the house. And I'm seeing these different people. You know what I'm saying? I'm seeing more of the friends come over, his friends, her friends, and these people that normally weren't in the picture. Now these people are coming over. I'm seeing new people coming. See, they're seeing all that. You know, when you all used to go to grocery shopping together, now you're going grocery shopping separately. You see what I'm saying? So you got to keep those promises. When you say, I'm going to be there Friday at 5, be there. I got you this weekend.
you know, make the sacrifices on the other end. Put other people off to make sure that you keep those promises to those kids, because it's going to help them live a better life when they know that you're consistent.
So what you're saying is that it's still possible in this situation to be good parents, you know, to the kids.
Right.
I think not only is it possible, I'm sorry, Tony. I think it's paramount.
Yeah, you have to.
I think it's paramount. I do it.
Yeah.
My joke with my ex and I is, I might not have been a great wife, but I'm a great baby mama. You know, joke about that all the time. And I give her props on it, man. I ain't gonna lie, I give her props on it. You know, we do it.
That's funny, actually.
Yeah, she is pretty funny. She actually is pretty funny. She thinks she's on stage half the time, but you know, yeah. But yeah, she's right though. We do it. We do it. Tim, we had this talk before. We had this talk a couple weeks ago. We do it. You know, I mean, you saw Will and Jay to do it with Will's ex-wife. You know, that was on Front Street for everybody to see. It can be done. I mean, you know, you keep them kids first, and it pays off. I mean, my dad never left me hanging on a Saturday.
Well, let me ask you this: you think it would be harder if there were no kids around? You know, if y'all didn't have any kids, would it be harder for y'all to remain, you know, civil and, you know, keep that dialogue going? Would it be harder if there were no kids involved?
Yeah.
We'd be cordial. We'd be cordial, but you might not have any reason to talk. I mean, then you may not have any reason to be in contact with each other. You might just be like, oh, I work downtown, you work downtown, I see you at Starbucks. You know, hey, how you doing? Ooh, good to see you. Great. All right, keep it moving. You know, but you probably would have no reason to talk if you didn't have kids.
Good words.
Right.
Fellas, we're almost there. Just got a few more questions, and we'll roll it on over to open mic. Good chat, fellas. And I think this question has come up before, but I want to ask it again in this way. Is it possible that the economic downturn can actually deepen your commitment to the marriage?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you find yourself being roommates, permanently separated, whatever you want to call it, just being able to coexist, able to be civil to one another, occasionally being nice to each other. Couldn't you also find yourself staying married?
Uh-huh, you could.
That's what you call a negative turning into a positive.
Mm.
I like that.
That's good words. I think somebody said that, you know, everything that's continually holding up your divorce proceedings, that could be a sign that y'all just need to stay together and reconcile.
Yeah.
You know, the economy's bad. You know, I can't leave. You can't leave. You can't afford a mortgage on your own. She can't afford. She ain't finished school. You know, all of this stuff. It might be a sign that you just need to stay together and work it out.
If you're happy, then can you be happy?
Yeah, and speaking on happiness, brother, have people forgotten that marriage was never supposed to be easy?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, really, you know, because I think people get into it, they're like, oh, you know, I'm married, you know, everything's going to be great. No,
mm-mm.
It's work.
That's for sure.
Yeah. That's good words right there. Yes, I think, you go back a couple of generations with that one.
Yeah.
You listen to, I mean, think about it. I was in school. I was in class with one of my professors last year. And he told me it's been 30 years of his wife been married. And he told me it's been some real good ups, but it's been some real low lows.
Yeah.
And he said, my wife and I just said, we're going to talk this thing through. But, you know, again, but they made the commitment to each other to tough it through. Now, he told me he didn't go into detail. He didn't have to, because we all know there's a number of things. It could be financial stress. It could be monogamy issues. It just, you got to hang in there if you want to do it. But, you know, two people that want to do the same thing can usually get the same goal accomplished.
Right.
Yeah, and I just want to follow. Good words, brother. I just want to follow up on, you know, that. And I want y'all to think just for a second, what about your parents or your wife's parents? You know, if they've already passed, you know, how were they living? Or if they're still married today, how are they living? Are they soulmates or are they just roommates?
A lot of times you don't know, man.
Yeah.
A lot of times you just don't know, especially if, like, if it's your scenario, they're still living in the same house.
Right.
Don't know. But certain couples will let you know because the affection is present. You know, they're hugging, they're kissing, they're tapping each other on the butt. You know, they're doing all these things in front of you. That's when you know that they were in it to win it.
Yeah.
Do that.
Good words. Anybody else? Good words, good words. I want to ask this final question before we roll over into open mic. I don't want y'all to listen to this. It's 8 seconds.
Oh, my lady, if you're sick inside and you're ready to sign, say,
what if I ask your lovely wife, is she ready to sign them papers? You know, would she say, you know, who is this man I married? Does she even recognize you? Are you the same man or are you the one that's changed? That's deep.
I give you my wife's number. You ask them all.
Good words, good words. But, I mean, really. You know, we've been talking all night, you know, she this, she that. Is it us? Have we changed so much? Is she ready to sign them papers?
That's a good question. I think we all change, though, man.
Yeah. So, you know, we change for better or worse, but we change.
Well, we change, but we still show up every day. You know what I mean? We're still in there, hanging in there, trying to figure out how we can get better. People get on this call to figure out how they can get better. You know, so I don't really know if that applies to anybody tonight.
So, I mean, how can we avoid this? I mean, how can we avoid going from soulmates to roommates? I mean, what can we do? What should we do? How can we avoid going from soulmates to roommates?
Open lines of communication. You're going to have to talk. And sometimes we have to not let that thing that bothers us fester. If it's something that she does or, you know, you got to be able to say, you got to step up and say, this is what, you know, I can't deal this. I can't deal with this when you do that. Or if she has to be able to willing to do the same thing.
Yeah. I think it's really simple. I think you have to take divorce off the table. I think that's first and foremost. You take that off the table, it opens up a lot of possibilities and options of keeping your marriage fresh. But whenever I think that, you know, you say, well, if this don't work out, I'm going to go with plan B. If there's a plan B, then you'll never exhaust plan A, which is your marriage.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, because I've been there. My first marriage, divorce was always an option. The next chick was always an option.
It was almost like you were just dating then.
Exactly. I was like, well, if this don't work out, you know I can get me another one.
Mm-hmm.
Always an option. So I never put 200% in.
So were y'all essentially roommates from the jump?
I'm not going to say roommates from the jump, but periodically it seemed like that, off and on.
Mm.
You know, you got your good days, you got your bad days.
Yeah.
You know, you're still married, but in the back of your mind, you're like, yeah, I'm not really happy in this situation. But, you know, if you go into it with a quitting mentality, like I have the option, I can roll out.
Yeah.
You know what else I think
I think a lot. I had a situation happen to me the other day that I'm not going to get into a little too long, but and I brought it up to a friend of mine. I said, you know, what do you think of what I just told you? And she told me. She said, you know, there are a lot of people that are physically mature and haven't emotionally matured. And I thought, wow, you're 100% correct. And I think in a situation like I can think back to some relationships, and even probably my first marriage, an only marriage, but I may not have been emotionally mature to be a husband. You know what I mean? That I wasn't, you know what I mean? Like you, like my man just said, I don't forget what I think that was T, but you're sort of like, yeah, all right, if this don't work, I'm definitely, you know. In other words, you already got one foot out the door anyway.
Yeah, right. Going in.
Yeah, you only got one foot out the door anyway. And I think that comes with emotional maturity. I think I think that has a lot to do with some of the things we did when we were younger. And I'm 40 now, so I'm starting to see. Right. Starting to see what my dad was talking about now. that old man wasn't crazy now. He was dropping some knowledge on the brother. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, all right. And I tell him right now, he just shakes his head, yeah. Uh-huh. You got a lot more to figure out, boy.
That's funny.
Yeah, the sad thing is we don't realize our parents are intelligent until we leave.
That's right. And I think that those of us that have been divorced, you know, maybe we have to go through that to understand the importance of marriage and to understand, mm-hmm. you know, okay, well, the next time I do this, I got to be in it to win it from the beginning.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, if you're not, that's just like showing up, you know, to play a basketball game. You're like, yeah, well, you know, I don't really need this one. You know, we're already in the finals, so we don't really need this one. You know what I'm saying?
So
you then just start playing. You don't play to your full ability. I think marriage, you have to play to your full ability. Like, and you need every game to get to the Super Bowl. Every single game, you need it.
You know, and the jump on that Super Bowl reference, I hate to throw a sports reference into this and cliche because I'm not an ESPN junkie, but I remember Dan Marino said when somebody asked Dan Marino about not winning a Super Bowl, and he said what was funny to him, and he came to, this is years after he retired, he said, my first year in the league, I played the Super Bowl. In my rookie league, I played the Super Bowl, so he figured when he lost, he was upset, but he figured, well, I guess I'll just have to get back here. So, you know, he was, and then, you know, 15 years fast forward, he never got back. So he was, you know, he was lamenting the fact that he maybe didn't, did I leave it all on the field? Like we talked about, like my man said about his marriage, did I put 200% into my first marriage to make it work?
Yep.
Yeah. I was not my line with that feedback. I was not.
Yeah, I don't know whose line that is.
I got my earpiece in, but I think I'm good. I got a wired earpiece. Let me make sure it's not moving.
Okay.
I don't think
that's much better.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's much better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, we've been talking about tonight, Phil. I mean, a long-term separation, I mean, can really create big problems. I mean, if a couple ain't officially divorced, their lives will still be legally and financially intertwined. You know, for example, if your estranged wife goes on a spending spree, you're responsible for the ensuing credit card debt.
Right.
You know, if you happen to receive an inheritance, that's community property. You know, finally, fellas, a permanent separation can go on longer than either one of you anticipated, all the way up until death. And that's just leaving a financial mess for your survivors. So instead of a permanent separation, why not figure out how to reconcile so y'all can go from being roommates back to being soulmates? And that concludes our show for the evening, fellas. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show brought to you by the Head Up Household. We hope that you enjoyed the show. You can join us again next Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And next week's topic will be... to be determined. For more information, please feel free to visit our website, www.householdstress.com. That website again, householdstress.com.
You are now free.
free to move about the country.
Good stuff, good stuff.
Good job.